We get things underway this afternoon by talking some baseball and more with Ted Berg of USA Today. Ted, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, I don't think I'm going to match Alice Cooper.
I don't know about that. You're right there.
That's my book. That's a tall order. I'll try.
But you've also seen the Tarantino movie, so you could give us a little preview of that, too.
I did. I thought it was preposterously long and a little bit sort of like inside Hollywood self-indulgent for a while. Like for the first hour of the movie, I was like, oh, come on. And then the last hour and a half of the movie, I was completely into it and loved it.
Excellent. Well, there you go. And I think I've said this to you before, but I say it again today. I love having you in my inbox to start my day. Does that sound dirty?
No. I love hearing it. Thank you. I write a newsletter, like you mentioned. So it's always good to know that people are actually out there checking it, because it's a lot to wake up at 5 a.m. and get cracking at coming up with something to say about sports.
Well, we appreciate it so much. Let's talk some baseball here with the trade deadline a couple of days away. Let's start with the Mets, because you have written so well about them, and a wonderful piece today that greeted me as I began my day. The Mets made what seems to be a pretty good deal yesterday for Stroman. What you say is they should stop there and not do what it sounds like they want to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. Is it doesn't seem like a lot of people are willing to give the Mets the benefit of the doubt, because the Mets haven't earned the benefit of the doubt. Not under new GM Brody Van Wagenen, not really over the course of the organization's history. There's a lot of reason to doubt the New York Mets. But if you look at the Stroman deal in a vacuum, I think it's a good one. They got a very good major league pitcher who's under control for the rest of this season and next season for two prospects who are not, at least by the consensus of the experts, who are not like top 100 major league prospect type guys. I would have expected Stroman to command more. It sounds like if you listen to Blue Jays fans and Blue Jays media, they're a little surprised at how little Toronto got back for Stroman. So it does seem like a good deal for the Mets. And like I wrote, the Mets have enough good players that I think it's reasonable to say if they have a good offseason, they can contend next year. It's not like they should never go for a go-for-it move for 2020, and that's what this is, I think, because I do think they have the talent to go for it in 2020. What doesn't make sense to me is the talk that, oh, well, now that they got Stroman, that means they're going to turn around and trade Noah Syndergaard, who is a guy we know throws 103 miles an hour and has just an incredible wealth of talent and is having the worst season of his major league career. And so to me, that seems like selling high, or selling low, rather, and a bad idea, especially if you really are planning on making a move toward contention next season. I think you hang on to that guy, and you go into the season with a rotation with Jacob deGrom and Stroman and Syndergaard and all these good young offensive players they've got, and just try to fix your bullpen rather than this sort of like halfway plan of, okay, we'll bring on this one guy, and because we've patched this one hole, now we can open up another one.
But then again, they are the Mets.
They are the Mets, and so you never know, right? You never know if it's just a matter of like, oh, well, we don't like the way Syndergaard tweets, so we got to get rid of him. And there was a funny anecdote, I thought, in a Joel Sherman article in the New York Post. He said that there was concern in the Mets front office about trading Syndergaard to a team like the Yankees or the Astros, because he might do so much better there. And that to me is like one of the most damning things I've ever read. Like, you're not doing as well with this guy as some of the other teams are. And so, as some of the other teams would. And so your solution is, well, let's just not trade him to those teams. Not, hey, what are the Astros doing that we could be doing?
Will they be trading Edwin Diaz to the Red Sox, do you think?
It sounds like it's possible. Again, that's a weird, they gave up a lot to get Edwin Diaz this offseason. They took on Robinson Cano's contract. They gave up pretty much, their two of their three biggest prospects at the time to get him. And so it would also seem like selling low. Diaz has had a really rough season, but I imagine he's been good enough in his career And from watching them, like, the stuff looks good enough that I would bet teams are still willing to give up a good deal to get him. And so maybe if the move is right, it does seem like closers are going to be the commodity that gets shifted around this at this deadline, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot else that's out there.
No, slim pickings to say the least. Who needs to make a trade? Which teams out there really have to do something to make a deep postseason run?
Well, it seems like the Yankees are pretty desperate for starting pitching, but like I just mentioned, you know, it's not clear now that the Mets grabbed Stroman and the Giants sort of played their way back into contention, and maybe Madison Bumgarner is not going to get traded. It's not really clear where the starting pitching is. The Yankees have the prospect depth, you know, as much as any team, really. They have the prospect depth to go out and get a guy. And maybe if you start dangling the likes of Miguel Andujar and Clint Frazier, you get teams thinking about dealing guys they might not otherwise deal. But I don't think you're giving up, you know, pieces like that for a guy like Mike Minor or even a Matt Boyd, like the guys who have been really good this season but don't necessarily have that long history of success. And I don't think make you feel, you know, super confident heading into a postseason game with that guy as your ace. The Yankees are going to make the postseason, or it certainly seems like it, but their pitching has been just horrible over the last week and a half or so. And so it does seem like there's some urgency there, so who knows what they do. That's a glaring one. It sounds like the Astros would like some starting pitching as well. In both cases, I wouldn't say it's a desperate need because, again, they're going to make the postseason. You know, really across the American League, that's sort of the case. It seems like the postseason picture is clearing up already. And so, you know, it's a matter of, okay, do we want to strengthen our team for the playoffs, or do we want to just say, hey, let's get there, allow that it's a little bit of a dice roll once we do, and try to roll with the guys we have so we can do it again next.
We're talking with Ted Berg of USA Today. I have not been a big Trevor Bauer fan for a while, mostly not for his pitching, but because of the way he treats his fellow human beings. And my heart bled a little bit for poor Terry Francona yesterday. You didn't need to be a great lip reader to see that Tito wasn't pleased with his pitcher.
Yeah, and you know what? It looked silly. I mean, so Bauer, if people missed it, when Francona came to take him off the mound in a bad outing, Bauer spun around and threw the ball over the center field fence. I don't think people realize how incredibly impressive that is. And I know the guy's a major league pitcher, but and I know that that's part of his routine, the extreme long tossing. But if you stand on a major league pitcher's mound and look out to the center field wall and think about how far that is, like, I don't think I'd get the ball halfway there. And so, you know, it's sort of an impressive display of strength for a guy demonstrating his frustration. And to me, it's a lot cooler to watch than seeing a guy take a bat to the Gatorade cooler again.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. You sing the praises of Mike Trout again. Ho-hum, another month and another group of Hall of Famers that he passes in WAR.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, it almost feels like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, like, can this guy possibly be this good? And now we're 9 years deep. Yeah, I mean, he's this good. I don't know what, you know, like, I'm writing about him once a week, and I don't run out of new facts I discover about how good he is compared to his peers. You know, every time I think, like, oh, well, at some point this well is going to run dry and I'm not going to be able to write to keep coming up with interesting things to say about Mike Trout, then I stumble upon to, you know, some new crazy fact. And so you can always sort of come back to the latest Hall of Famers he's surpassing on these leaderboards. And, you know, at this point, he is at a spot where just about every player he's going to surpass is a Hall of Famer, because he's clearly reached that benchmark for Cooperstown.
Well, and I just have to hope that he doesn't meet the same fate as one of the guys he passed, Big Ed Delahanty.
Yeah, that's the other thing about doing this, is you find out some wild stories from the past. Delahanty was a great player. I mean, just a, you know, the Mike Trout of the 1890s, really. And then things went horribly awry, I guess. And he wound up kicked off a train for disorderly conduct on a train ride. It was from Detroit to New York. So I guess it was in on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. And they found him dead at the bottom of Niagara Falls at age 35. So, yeah, that would be, I mean, you don't wish that upon anybody, Mike Trout or anyone else.
No, I think if I remember the story, he was walking across a bridge and literally disappeared in the fog.
Yeah, it sounds like the train security guard tried to bring him back, and they scrappled a little bit, and then he ran away, and they said, like, they don't know if he jumped or he just slipped and fell, but some way or another, he wound up in the Niagara River, and then at some point, I think, you know, went over the edge.
What's been the best story in Major League Baseball so far this year?
Not Big Ed Delahanty dying in 1903. That's been sort of a gloomy one. I think it's probably, to me, still the Twins, that they're still, and I know the Indians are gaining ground rapidly, and I think that was the team everyone, certainly myself, expected would win that division, and I kind of think they will win that division. But how well the Twins have played, and especially how well they've hit, given that, you know, it's just not an offense full of, you know, guys you think of as superstars. Nelson Cruz has been a great hitter for a long time, but it's a lot of guys, you know, sort of on the upswing, some no-name guys, some guys like Byron Buxton who have bounced back from miserable seasons, and it's just been a really fun team to watch.
And before we let you go, Ted, I need you to weigh in on this issue. If he were alive today, if he lived in a different time, would playwright Anton Chekhov be likely to do very well on The Bachelorette?
Oh, I would have. I mean, so you're referencing a tweet I made. Don't ask me why I wound up on Anton Chekhov's Wikipedia page, but I was shocked to learn that he is an incredibly handsome man, just like a really stunning guy. And I just, I don't, maybe it was, maybe it's prejudice on my part that I just sort of assumed he was an old dude with a big white beard and, you know, balding on top and sort of a drunkard's nose. But instead, Chekhov is just a hot, hot man. So, yeah, I think he'd clean up on all the dating shows.
And I don't, why, some of his plays were rather gloomy, and now I don't know why.
Right. It seemed like it might have been okay.
Like that perspective, as always. Ted Berg, he's more than just the best baseball writer around. He is truly a renaissance man. Ted, as always, thanks for being with us.
Rich, anytime. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Check out Ted Berg, USA Today. Subscribe to For the Win and get his work delivered right to your inbox every morning. You'll be glad you did.